Thank you, worship team. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's great to see you all here today and to be able to worship the Lord together. So we've been on a sermon series just talking about Christmas for a few weeks. I do love the Christmas season, and I love to preach about the Christmas story. And so I wanted to do something a little different today, and I'm going to hopefully tie it all together so when you leave, it'll be like, oh, that was kind of Christmassy. So that's good. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Who's heard that verse before? Yeah, most of us, right? It's pretty well known. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What do you think that means in our daily life? Like we read through the Bible, we get what it means, but seeking first his kingdom and righteousness. I think that it's about focusing on him. It's about living our life for him. It's about the first thought when we wake up is that I'm an instrument for God. What do I do for him today? That I'm seeking first his kingdom means I'm not seeking first my kingdom, but his kingdom. And then there's a promise that all these things, talking about the scripture prior, is the food and the clothing and what we wear and where we live, and they'll be added to us. Now, I think that it's an easy scripture. We've all heard it. But I think it's hard to live out. Like, how do I don't worry about what I eat and what I wear and where I live. And some of you, maybe you actually worry about those things. Like, you don't know exactly where your next meal is coming from or where you're going to live or where you're going to sleep tonight. And for others of us, it may be more modern. It may be, okay, God, you don't want me to seek first your kingdom, but I'm still worried about, you know, my job that I have tomorrow or paying the taxes. I'm worried about retirement. Am I going to have enough to retire well? I'm worried about my family. Are they going to have enough? I'm worried about, you know, as I get older, will I have enough for care for myself? If I have to go into a home or if someone has to take care of me, do I have enough? Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes it's hard to live that. It's hard to think, yep, I'm only going to seek the Lord's kingdom and not worry about anything else, because there's a lot to worry about these days. So keep that scripture in mind, and then I'm going to come back to it at the end as we kind of go through the Christmas story for a minute. So Christmas is the day we celebrate the Christ coming into this world, his birth, and eventually we kind of celebrate Easter, which is his death. Now, his birth kind of is what we would call, if you're looking at the times in the world, that it's either before Christ or it's after death. The common era calls it before common era or after common era. That there's all secular world, but we all live in a after death, an AD world, and that the world was split with before Christ and after death. That's how big a deal his birth was, his life was. That it splits the common era, and that we all live in a BC world, I mean an AD world, an after he died world. And so today's kind of message, my thought for you today is, many religious people in this world are living in an AD, after death world, with a before Christ belief in God. That many religious people, we all live in AD, but many religious people have a BC understanding of God, that Jesus changed so much, sometimes it's hard to decide who, you know, what's Jesus like after his birth and death? How did he change religion? So I want to talk about that for a few minutes today, because I think the Old Testament, it's wonderful. It talks about how we get to where we're going. But I think for a lot of people who are trying to, you know, who are new to faith or trying to discover who God is today, it can confuse people. Because when you read about God in the Old Testament, it's very different when you read about God in the New Testament. I think a lot of people, a lot of religious people, we all live in AD, but we have a before Christ understanding of God. And I'll kind of work through that for a minute. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and yet they were terrified. But the angel responded. The angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So here we have this carefully, powerfully orchestrated entrance of Christ's birth. And I said last week, it's interesting. He brought this amazing news to some lowly shepherds without any power, any standing, people that culture had said you're unclean and not worth, you know, anything in the religious system. And but the angels, they show up in this powerful way to pronounce the birth of Jesus Christ to some lowly shepherds. Now, what is the difference between BC religion and AD religion? This announcement changes everything. This announcement is bringing Jesus into the world, and Jesus changed it all. So we're going to go through for a few minutes, and we're going to look at what does BC God look like, and what does AD God look like? What's the difference? Because some people are living in a BC world, and we have a Jesus who changed everything. So before Christ, we had religion, the Old Testament. We had what I would consider and what I would define as religion. We had sets of rules. We had a sacrificial system. We had do's and don'ts. We had the commandments, and then a lot of other 650 other rules to support those commandments. We had essentially religion, that God wanted to show the world he existed through this nation of Israel. And when they followed him, he blessed them. And when they didn't follow him, he, you know, sent people to conquer them and discipline them and get them back in line. But we kind of had a religion. Now, religion, it's our effort to close the gap on creation. That when we have religion, it's our effort to, with human effort, to say, okay, this is what the world means. This is what it's all about. Religion's about do's and don'ts. You know, I don't drink and I don't smoke, or I don't do this or I don't do that. It's religion. I don't do it because I believe that that's one of the rules. Religion is people can, sometimes there's a set rules, and sometimes we kind of make up what the best, how we serve God. For instance, if you're a religious person, you think, okay, I go to church, I'm a good person, I give money to the church, or I go to mass, or I memorize the Bible, and I don't do a certain things. I don't swear, or I don't drink, or I praise God through my rituals and my understanding. And nothing's bad about rituals. Nothing's bad about religion, but it's a set of do's and don'ts, and it's a set of rules. That's what makes a religion up. If you Google it, you'll have religion is an understanding your belief system governed by do's and don'ts, by rules, by telling you, by a faith saying, I believe this and I don't believe that. That's before Christ. We had a religion. We had a set of rules that you needed to follow, and that if you didn't, there could be consequences, but there was very clearly rules. And you, in order for you to gain access to God, you'd have to go to a priest. You'd have to, and the priest would sacrifice on your behalf and kind of wash away or cover up your sins. But you didn't really have direct access. You had to go to a priest, and you know that's what we have everybody going to the city of David, going to Bethlehem because they're gonna, it's Passover is coming up, and we're gonna sacrifice. We're gonna do that yearly, I need to come to God moment. That's religion. Now, AD, after Jesus, we have religion becomes more relationship. Now, relationship, Jesus says, I didn't come to add a religion. I didn't come to make a religion. He said, I came to save the lost. I came to seek and save the lost. That when he shows up, the religious people who are all about religion, they rejected him. They didn't know what to do with him. Jesus confused the heck out of them. Because here's Jesus hanging out with imperfect people. See, if you're religious, you didn't associate with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. You hung out with other innocent or other religious people. And Jesus comes and he hangs out with tax collectors. He hangs out with sinners. He preaches to them. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. Because Jesus brings relationship into this equation. He doesn't say, hey, I want to give you a few extra rules. You see, the Ten Commandments were good. Law of Moses was good. I'm going to bring a little bit more to the law. He doesn't do that. He says, I want to bring relationship to you. Because before Christ, religion. After he died, after Christ came and died, we see relationship kind of start to take place in that place. So that's the first thing. Number two, before Christ, we wondered. We wondered. After his death, it became, I know. The before Christ, I wonder if my relationship with God is good enough. Before Christ, I wonder if I've lived the rules clear enough. Before Christ, it's like we kind of hide behind, well, I have faith that I'm doing the right thing. I had faith that I was a good enough person. I had faith that I had enough works in my life. I had faith that he'll look on me and say, yeah, I think that you're probably going to be good enough to go to heaven. But after Jesus, because of relationship, it becomes I know. Like I know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved because I'm like such a great person. I know I've messed up. I know that if any one of you could look at all the sins in my life, you'd be like, oh my goodness. Probably I could say the same about you. If I looked at everything you'd ever done wrong, I'd be like, wow. But because of Jesus, it's not, I wonder if I'm good enough. It's, I know I am because he said I am. Not because I feel great or not. I think so many people think we're just super religious and we just think we're better than everybody else. And man, a real Christian knows they're not better than everyone else. I know I'm not. I know I've sinned just as much as that person who thinks the church will burn down if they come in here. But I know because of his death, I know. I don't wonder. I know he loves me. I know that I'm his adopted son or daughter. I know that I'm worthy. I know in Ephesians 2 that I'm a masterpiece. Not because I am, because he said it. See, before Christ, it's like, I wonder if I got this right. I wonder if I'm doing enough. I wonder if I'm doing enough do's and don'ts and connecting the dots. And I wonder if I'm going to church enough or giving enough. I wonder if I'm enough. But after Jesus, because of relationship, it turns into I know. I know. You see, when I wonder, I think, am I good enough? You know, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If I'm one of God's children, then I know I'm good enough. I have three children, and they're all three have the last name Longfellow, because they're my children. And if I asked Serenity, if someone asked her, like, are you Mike's daughter, she's a girl. So you're Mike's daughter. And if she's like, well, I don't know if I am today because I was really bad. Like I swore, I had some bad thoughts. And she's like, you know, yesterday I feel like I probably was Mike's daughter, but I don't know if I am today. That would not be true. She's my daughter no matter what. That when you know that God's your father and you know you're adopted, it's not a wonder anymore. It's I know. I know I don't deserve it, but I know I'm his son. Because the scripture says it. Because Jesus brought relationship and it changed religion. It made it obsolete. The do's and don'ts and the commandments, those aren't bad. I would never say don't follow the Ten Commandments, but they're obsolete. Those aren't getting you into heaven. It's relationship with the Lord. And with relationships comes, I know. I don't have to wonder anymore. And lastly, before Christ, you had to go to God. You had to go to God. That if I wanted to be in the presence of God, I'm not even sure if it was totally possible before Christ, but you'd go to a priest or you'd go to the Ark of the Covenant. They'd be carrying that around, or you wouldn't be able to go into the Holy of Holies, but you'd be able to get outside in the outer courts, and you know you'd buy a sacrifice or buy a dove or a lamb or something to be sacrificed to you, and you'd kind of give an offering of worship to God. But he doesn't necessarily with you. You see, he resided in the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus came, that split open, and he left the building, and he now is with you. Before Christ, you had to go to him. After Christ, he's with you. That it changes things. we come to church because we want to gather as Christians, not because he's the only place he's here is at church. You see, he's here. When we all leave, he's not here anymore. He's with us. It's a powerful, powerful difference. Because before Christ, I had to go to God. After Christ, I'm with God. That he's with me. That we are the temple. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Why do you think that this angel is going to pronounce to Mary, "Hey, you're going to give birth to a son, and his name is going to be Emmanuel," which means God is with us? Because it's a powerful, dynamic, extravagant change. His name is going to be something that means, you know, powerful or mighty or world conqueror, but the angel gave him a name that his name's Emmanuel because he's going to be with you. Changes things. Not you can come to him, but he's going with you. It's changing religion. Not just watching over you, but with you. Never leave you. Jesus said, "I am the savior of the world. I'm not coming to create another religion. I'm not coming to give you more rules, but I'm coming to be with you, to save you." Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy for all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem." Some of us have been living our relationship with Jesus as if he never came. That we're a part of the before Christ part, that we live with rules. When you feel like you're following him and you're doing those rules and laws and you feel okay, but the second you mess up, we feel so far away. But the good news, or the great joy that we see proclaimed to the shepherds here, is that Jesus brought you relationship. That's not religion, it's not wonder if I'm okay, it's not I have to go to him, but it's I have relationship with him. I know him. He is with me. So as I bring this together, what would your life look like if you knew he was with you? What would your life look like, or what would your choices be if you knew or you believed that Jesus came and he changed this world and he brought us relationship? He brought us this confidence to know that we are saved, to know we're sons or daughters of God, and he is with us every step of the way. How would you lead your life? How would you love people? It'd be a lot easier to love people if I knew God was with me and that he loved me so much he saved me from my sins. How would you live if you knew God was with you? My mom once, when I was probably 15 or 16 years old, I loved movies. Anybody else love movies? I've always loved movies. And so this is back when we had VHS players. Like DVDs were out, but you didn't want to get them because they just scratched really easy. So I had VHS, maybe a few DVDs. And my mom is, my parents are super, you know, I would say religious, but they're not just religious. They do have relationship too, but they're strict. They were strict. Then I was the oldest of seven. By the time the last few came along, they're like, "Dude, do whatever you want." But with me, man, it was strict. So my mom tells me, she's like, I have this big rack of movies, and I'm just like, watching these movies, and she looks at them, and she's kind of like, you know, tisking at me. She's like, "I don't know, this isn't not a good movie." And I'm like, "Oh, it's fine, you know, it's a good movie. It's like Terminator or something with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, it's an awesome movie." And she looks at me and she's like, "Michael, I want you to go through every movie and every CD, every music song you listen to. And if you wouldn't listen to that song or watch that movie with Jesus, you should throw it away." And I'm "Seriously, Mom?" "Yes." I'm like, "Okay." I didn't find hardly any movies that I'm like, "Jesus, let's watch this together." Right? Like, I'm 16 years old, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to watch anything. And try a song. Like, I'd think I'd find a good song, and then it'd be something I'd be like, "Jesus, I don't know if you'd like that," right? And it's a funny story, and I did throw away a lot of good movies that that I'm still kind of wishing I could watch, but what would you, how would you lead, how would you love, how would you live if you knew Jesus was with you? And my mom was kind of more of the, like, scare me into submission and being a good person, but let me open it up to say, he's not mad at you. He's not like, I can't believe you watched that movie last week. He's your heavenly Father with you. And so, I don't mean this to, when I ask you, how would you live, not like you'd be scared all the time, because that's religion. That's religion. I'd be scared that I wasn't, you know, honoring him enough, or I'd be scared that he was disappointed in me, or I'd be scared that I was a human. But you're in relationship with him. He loves you. He thinks of you as his son or daughter. How would you live? How would you lead? How would you love? I started with that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. Would you be able to seek his kingdom first if you knew that he loved you, that he was with you? I think that scripture would be so much easier if we lived like he came to this world and changed things, and not lived like it was before Christ, because he changed everything. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your words this morning. I thank you that, man, Lord, I thank you you didn't just come and bring more rules. That you didn't come and say, hey, let me add another 10 commandments to your list. Because, Lord, we all know that we fail with rules and laws. Lord, we break our own laws. I'll make a rule for myself or a law for myself and be like, hey, I'm never going to do this again, and then I do it again. But Lord, you came to bring relationship. You came to show us, Lord, what extravagant love looks like. You came to save what was lost. And so, Lord, I know that you love me. I know that you have a place for me in glory. And I know it's not because I did enough good things in my life, or because I followed your rules close enough. I know it's because you died for me, and you made me holy through your death. And Lord, I want to live like that is true. Live like I'm not in a religion, but I'm in a relationship with my Savior. I want to live like I know you're with me every step of the day. So Lord, if there's anyone in here who's living before Christ, living the old religious system, Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to the relationship that's before us. Help us to know in our hearts and our faith and our core this know that you're with us. Lord, because you changed everything when you came to earth, when you lived a perfect life and died on the cross, Lord, you made religion obsolete and you made a relationship with you the only thing worth living. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.